Welcome to New Gen Network, a podcast online radio show from Ghana, West Africa. Your host is Raphael Okere and co-founder. Gen Writers Club is a show to empowering young African writers to share their writing skills and arts with the world. Join us to listen to our international guest speakers who are ready to inspire and motivate you to your success.
Second one. The third one is more of a legacy truth, for lack of a better word. And I think it's important for all of us, regardless, you know, of where we are in our life, to think about our legacy. And here's the third truth. What we leave behind is what we weave in the hearts of other people. So our legacy is going to be the impact that we have on other people. You know, it may be the book that I write. It might be the podcast that you're doing. But your legacy is going to be what you leave in the hearts of other people. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one is pretty self-explanatory. It's this. As long as you don't quit, you can never be defeated. And I know that my pain is going to end someday. It may end because I have surgery. It may end because a medication is available. Quite frankly, it may end when I die. But if I quit, if I give up, if I give in to pain, then pain is always going to be a part of my life.
Yes. Yes. That's one of the hardest principles anyone can ever learn.
Yeah, these are things that I have come to understand. And, you know, I always tell people and offer it to them, if you don't have principles, if you don't have truths in your life, start with mine. Start with these four and, you know, pick and choose. Yeah, that one works for me or that one doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. And come up with your own. Come up with things that, you know, are in your heart, are in your soul, and you know you can rely on them. And you can build your life off of them.
Ooh. Now I'm so interested in your book as well. Sustainable excellence. This is what I've been asking myself. Did you write this book, or were you writing this book on your sick bed most often, or when you were going through your agony? Or there was a point in time you had already written it, and then you just sampled everything and published?
I actually wrote the book. So, excuse me, I had my leg amputated in April of 2020. And I started chemotherapy, medication for the tumors in my lungs, in June of 2020. And during that 3-month period, roughly, that I was healing from my amputation, I sat down at the computer every day and I built stories underneath the 10 principles that I had developed. And that's how the book came to be.
Wow. And how many years does this take you?
I'm sorry, could you say that one more time, please?
How many years did it take you?
It took me 3 months to write the book.
Wow. Wow. And why the title Sustainable Excellence?
I wanted, you know, we all talk a lot about excellence, and I talk about this in the book, that, you know, how do you define excellence? And in all honesty, I don't have an answer to that. And I talk about that in the book, that, you know, what might be excellent for me may be not excellent for you, and vice versa in that. So excellence, kind of like beauty, is in the eye of the beholder. And I wanted people to, once they got excellence, not just to kind of sit back and say like, okay, I'm good at this, or I'm excellent at this, I'm comfortable. You're never going to grow when you're comfortable, which is why I always recommend, like I said earlier, that people do something every day that makes them uncomfortable. So I wanted people, once they were able to get excellence, to sustain it, to be able to continue to be in that state And, you know, we tend a lot of times, you know, you look at sports teams, championship teams, that when they reach the top of their whatever it is, you know, their league or their standings, that they get comfortable and they sort of,
yes,
they don't keep growing. They yeah, sort of step back and be like, oh, this is good. We made it to the top. We're going to stay here. You're not going to stay there unless you continue to grow.
You know, when you made mention of sportsmen sometimes getting comfortable, it's a reminder, do you love football? Do you love soccer?
I don't know a lot about soccer, but I mean, soccer is definitely becoming much more important and much more of a sport that's played here in the United States. When I was a young boy, soccer wasn't something that we really played at all.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say something small about it because, you know, most soccer players lately, they begin to relax when, you know, everything is going well for them. And, you know, sometimes you keep on anticipating where they can reach, but they don't get to that level at all, you know, because they become too comfortable. And that is something that is also bad. It's reflecting most of us and everyone's life. You know, you get to a point in time when you just relax. But those are some points where you are supposed to actually speed up and make a lot of things happen for yourself. And that is just some small additions I wanted to make. Concerning your book, did the book, any part of the book, bear records or stories about yourself?
There are a few stories about myself. It's not necessarily a book about me or my life. It's really, okay, when I came up with these 10 principles, I had a young man in college who had reached out to me on LinkedIn, and he wanted to know what I thought were the most important things that he should learn to not just be successful in his job or in business, but to be successful in life. And I didn't want to give him the, you know, get up early, work hard, help others. Not that those aren't, you know, those are incredibly important, but I've kind of felt like they had been done a lot. And so I wanted to see if I could give him something different, something that maybe went deeper, you know, into his heart or into his soul. And so I spent some time writing notes, and eventually I had these 10 thoughts, these 10 principles, these kind of 10 ideas. And then I stepped back and I was like, well, okay, I've got a life story that fits underneath this principle, or I know somebody whose life emulates this principle. So like I say, there are some stories in there about me, but there are a lot more stories in there about other people and the things that they've done in their life to get excellence and then to sustain it.
Wow. So in all, we're saying it's a nonfiction book, which has parts of it telling about yourself and about others, right?
Correct.
Great. Oh, man. It's been so refreshing. If you're listening to us, this is the New Gen Network once again. And we're just speaking with Mr. Terry and his book, Sustainable Excellence. I would really beseech you that you go search out this book, have a read of it, grab some important principles from it. I would personally do my best to grab one. It's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on Apple iBooks. It's pretty much anywhere you can get a book online, you can find Sustainable Excellence.
Okay, it has PDF versions too, right?
Yeah, it has an e-version, it has a paperback, it has a hard copy, yes.
Oh, yes. So anyone that fits in your pocket, these books are available for you. You can go for the PDF version, you can go for the hard copy version. And yes, let's all have fun reading some lessons that people have been through, and will definitely also help us in our journey in life. That is the foundation of everything. You don't want to go experience something that you would have learned and save you all your troubles and all your costs, all the expensive troubles in life that you can never think of. You don't want to experience it, right? So just go grab one of these books. Go grab Sustainable Excellence. And let's have fun with it, even as we learn some lessons, yeah? So, Mr. Terry, we're about to wrap up our show. But before we wrap up, we'll experience something small. I want to get to familiarize with you a little in terms of social life. Is that cool with you, please?
Kind of broke up there on me.
What?
Could you ask me that question one more time? The audio cut out on me for a minute.
Okay. So I was saying that we're about to dive into another section where we get to familiarize with you a little. It's about two or three questions, you know, to get to know about your social life, you know, how you go about your random activities, you know, just something small. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay. So these are very random questions I ask all my guests. It's just like some survey questions.
Okay.
Yeah, so between chess and a poker game, which one would you go for?
I'd probably go for the poker game.
Oh, man. So now I have two against two. Before, I had two authors say that they all go for a chess game. I was like, oh, man, why are you guys always acting like poker is one game for the evil, man? like seriously, you speak to anyone and it's like, I prefer chess. And I'm like, wait, is poker not brainy enough?
Yeah, I'm better at poker than I am at chess. So I would go with the poker game.
Bless. Okay, so the next one is between spending time at the beach alone to meditate, ponder, get some inspirations, and spending time with your family at home. Which one would you go for?
I'd absolutely, positively, 100% go with my family.
Oh, man. Yes, I know that's a tough decision. If I had replaced it with anything that is not related to family, which one would you have gone for still? Because I know artists and every creative person loves the beach.
You know, and I've lived in the United States on both coasts, you know, the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. And right now I live in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And I'll be honest with you, I love the mountains. They kind of get my, you know, creative juices flowing more so than the beach does. So I would pick the mountains over the beach.
Oh, okay. Anytime, any day.
Anytime, any day, yes.
Wow. So, another one. Between a very fine historic artwork, you know, art, and a book that you've heard from someone to be very inspiring, which one would you go for?
I'll tell you, I just, not just, but within the last year or so, I've read a book called Legacy. And it's a book written about the New Zealand national rugby team, who by all extents and purposes are the most successful sports franchise in any sport in any country of all times. And it was a book that really inspired me, you know, because a lot of times we think that we're going to, you know, we're gonna do something. We're gonna add people to our business or our friends base or that kind of thing. And we think, you know, especially if in business, you know, I want to hire somebody in sales. Well, I'm gonna hire a salesman. And what the New Zealand team talks about is they hire for two reasons. Number one, they hire for character. What kind of a person are you? You know, not are you a good rugby player, but are you a good person? And two, they hire for humility. You know, I don't have all the answers, and that's okay, because together we'll come up with the answers. You know, it kind of goes back to what we were talking before, that it's not about us individually. It's about us collectively, us together. And so I know it's probably not, you know, it's not a great piece of literature, but it was just a very impactful book for me about what is really important in life, from somebody, I think, who have, you know, a group of men, a team that has gotten to the point where they are excellent at what they do.
Wow. You know, I was waiting for a point in time on this show when I'll give you the platform to give us one of your motivational checks, you know, like your motivational speeches. But I think you just did it.
Yeah, it sounds like, didn't I? I was about ready to go coach somebody, right?
yes. this will be the very last one. Okay. So, between true story movies, you know, fictional movies, and an adventurous documentary, which one would you go for?
So you're asking me, would I take a true story movie over an adventure that I would live?
No, like, would you choose a true story movie over an adventurous documentary that you've either heard about or you're anticipating to watch?
I'd take the true story movie.
Oh man, that's great. So let's just talk about movie for a while, and then we'll wrap up the show.
That works for me.
So there's this movie I want to share. When I'm done sharing, you perhaps share yours too.
Okay.
So during the COVID, Jackson Kettis, which is 50 Cent, do you know him?
Yes.
Yeah, so he was an executive producer on a movie called For Life. Have you heard it before?
I have not.
Oh, man. This movie is so, so inspiring. So it just talks about a U.S. black civilian who owns a business, and that business is a club business. And just to cut a long story short, he was falsely accused of selling drugs in his premises, which is the club. And this false story everything was created through his very best friend. And then he was falsely accused and then sent to court. And so in court, he was asked to either choose if he's guilty and be imprisoned for life, or choose he's not guilty and then he's given a term of imprisonment. And this man sticking to his integrity, being honest, and, you know, choosing to be a businessman as he has always been and making hard decisions, he decided to say that he's not guilty because he's not guilty. That was just the truth. He was not guilty. And so he was in prison for life. And that's what I think came about the whole movie, For Life. And so in prison, he had to study law to get himself out of prison, and also defend some prisoners who were falsely accused and imprisoned. That's just the movie. And this story is about Isaac Wright Jr. It's a true story movie.
Wow, it sounds very powerful.
Yeah, like, it taught me a lot during the COVID.
Wow, I might have to check that out. For Life, is that what you said the name of it is? For Life?
Yes, For Life.
Okay.
So yes, okay.
So So I'm trying to think what movie I would give you in terms of my favorite. I've seen so many movies, and I think they're all going to pale in comparison to the one you just gave. I mean, it sounds very, very powerful. And I mean, most of the movies that I like are either about the military or about sports. And, you know, there was a movie, I don't know how many years ago. You know what? I know what movie I'll give you. And it's not necessarily it's a movie about two people that were real, but it's not necessarily all of it is not 100% true. Okay. And it's a movie called Tombstone.
And Tombstone.
It came out in 1993, and it starred some pretty good actors. Val Kilmer is fairly famous, and he starred as a man by the name of John Doc Holliday, and Kurt Russell starred as a man by the name of Wyatt Earp. Now, Doc Holliday and Wyatt Earp were two living, breathing human beings who walked on the face of the earth. They're not just made up characters for the movie. And this was back in the western part of the United States when, you know, everybody rode a horse and long before cars were available and electricity and things like that. And Doc Holliday was called Doc because he was a dentist by trade, but pretty much Doc Holliday was a gunslinger and a card shark. He played cards all the time, which is why another reason I picked poker over chess. So when you said that. And then Wyatt Earp was a lawman. He'd been a sheriff and he'd been a marshal and things like that. And these two men from entirely different backgrounds form this very close friendship. And at the end of the movie, Doc is dying at a hospital, actually in the state where I live right now. And Wyatt is destitute. He has no money, he has no job, he has no prospects for a job. So every day he comes to play cards with Doc, and the two men pass the time that way. And in the scene at the end of the movie, the two men are talking about what they want out of life. And Doc says that, "I was in love with my cousin when I was younger, but she joined a convent over the affair, but she's all that I ever want." And then he looks at Wyatt and he says, "What about you, Wyatt? What do you want?" And Wyatt says, "I just want to lead a normal life." And Doc looks at him and says, "There's no normal, there's just life. And get on with living yours." Raphael, you and I both know people out there that are kind of sitting back and, you know, looking at life. And it's like, well, when this happens, I'll have a normal life. When that happens, I'll have a successful life. When this happens, I'll have a significant life. I guess the reason I like that movie is, and I'll end it with this. Don't wait for life to come to you. Get out there, find the reason you were put on the face of this earth and live that reason. Because if you do, I'm going to promise you two things at the end of your life. Number one, you're going to be a whole lot happier. And number two, you're going to have more peace in your heart.
Bless. Thanks so much for sharing those movies. about sports movies that are somehow fictional, I like to suggest All American. It's a sports movie. It's somewhat based on true story. And then another one called Swagger.
Swagger. Okay, All American I've heard of. I have not heard of Swagger.
Okay, so I think Swagger came out like a few weeks ago. It's a basketball movie. It's really, you know, great. You may check it out.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, Mr. Terry. And thanks so much to everyone listening to this particular episode. It was a delight to have you all.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate talking with you today.
Bless, sir. Wait, bless dad, bless uncle. Thanks so much, Uncle. Thanks so much, Dad. Because today I realized I'm a kid. You know, even the movie made me realize I'm a kid. Like, it was 1993. I was not born by then.
I know you weren't. Trust me, I know. I've got a daughter your age, and I know you weren't born.
Oh, man. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. Catch you again same time next week. Bless.